Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Mondo Nostalgia Radio. This is the brand new show I just started, and it's a weekly show where I take a look at new stories in the entertainment world that are, you know, loosely based about nostalgia or anything like that, and just talk about them and have nostalgic twists to things and stuff like that. So thank you for joining me. Grab your favorite beverage or snack and sit with me and join me for a little bit. Last week we were talking about the movie It and how it was expected to be a big hit, and it lived up in a big way. In fact, it became the biggest horror movie opening of all time. This movie was predicted to only hit about 65, 75 million. It actually ended the weekend with $117 million. That's absolutely insane numbers. And, you know, the box office certainly needed it. But people were hungry for this movie, and they just went to it. And I have a feeling it's going to continue to do well in the weeks ahead, because the reviews have been really solid, and word of mouth is just amazing. And even though we're starting to see some more competition hitting the theaters, I think It is still going to do pretty well, because it is pretty good. And I'm going to have an It review later on in this episode. So just a few minutes, and I will tell you what my feelings of the movie It were, and that's coming up very soon. Now, it's going to have some competition at the box office this week, and I don't think either of these movies are going to be strong enough to knock It out of the top spot. But first of all, we've got Mother with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, and this one is another kind of a horror thriller, but the trailers are just kind of, you're not sure exactly what's happening. And sometimes that's good when you go into like a horror thriller, you kind of want that. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if people go to it. I think they will, because, you know, it's got a great cast, get great director. And the other movie is an action film called American Assassin, and it stars Dylan O'Brien and Michael Keaton and Taylor Kitsch. And this looks like it's going to be a really interesting movie, too. And for people who are not into the horror stuff, they might be interested in more of an action thriller. And I'm really hoping this movie does well. I, as I said, I don't really think it's got the power to knock It out of the number one spot. It's just becoming a phenomenon. But the reason I want it to be a big hit is because I am a huge fan of Dylan O'Brien. And as much as this is about American Assassin, this is more about the actor Dylan O'Brien. He's most known for playing Styles, one of the lead characters in the TV series Teen Wolf. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, Devlin, don't tell me you watch Teen Wolf. But you know what? Teen Wolf is actually one of the most solid series I've ever seen. It's dramatic, it's scary, it's funny. I won't lie, it's got some gorgeous people on this show. The male eye candy on this is just absolutely crazy. And there's a lot of attractive women as well. But it's a solid, solid show. And it's coming to an end. And Dylan O'Brien in that show, he plays Styles, who's actually the best friend of the actual original Teen Wolf, Tyler Posey. And his work on that show has absolutely impressed me. And now that the series is in its final run and they're about ready to wrap it up, I'd really love to see Dylan O'Brien become a, you know, like crossover into movies, because he's that good. He kind of, when he started, was kind of the comic relief of the show. But as the show grew, we actually really got to see that this young guy could act. And, you know, there's a lot of young actors that do well, you know, like Miles Teller and even like a Shia LaBeouf and stuff. But Dylan O'Brien, I think, really shines. And I really think he would be an amazing, you know, person to be in crossover movies and stuff. And so that's why I kind of hope American Assassin does a little good at the box office. Yeah, I remember a scene, one of my, like, as I said, he constantly knocks it out of the park on Teen Wolf. I remember his father on the show is played by Lyndon Ashby, And there was a scene that was played for comic relief, and it was basically he was going to, his father's the sheriff in town, and he wanted to get some information for something they were investigating. So he decided he's going to get his father drunk a little bit at a time and then get the information out of him. And the plan worked, and you know, the character Styles basically was, you know, proud of himself and, you know, patting himself on the shoulder and playing it very comedic. And then it took a serious tone because the father had drank so much that he started getting depressed, remembering his dead wife, and he was lonely and was remembering her. And I remember the scene where suddenly, what was this? He was such proud to get the information this way. He couldn't believe that he put his father through this, and now his father was depressed, and so helped him, you know, to get some sleep and to sleep the drunk off. And Dylan O'Brien, it was just powerful in the scene. And when he's with the guy who plays his father, Lyndon Ashby, they just have a wonderful chemistry. There's been solid episodes. And if you watch Teen Wolf, you know what I'm talking about. He is one of the standouts on that show. If you don't, Teen Wolf, you should definitely binge watch it. Dylan O'Brien's already had a little bit of success at the theaters because was the lead of The Maze Runner. First and second one, he's the lead character. And while filming the movies, he actually had a serious accident where I don't know the exact thing. I get the feeling he was doing his own stunt where he was jumping from a car to a train or something. I don't want to, you know, I don't know. They've kept this very quiet, and I have a feeling there's probably some investigation still going on. But he fell and got ran over by a car. And you know, you know, he made his recovery. It took a lot longer than they thought, and so he's back. I'm hoping we get the third in the series of the Maze Runner movies because of the fact that the first two movies weren't too bad, and I'd like to see a resolve. I know I could pick up a book because they're based on a book, but I'd rather see Dylan do it because he's really good. So, you know, that's me singing my praises, Dylan O'Brien. Check out American Assassin, hitting theaters this weekend, or, you know, binge watch Teen Wolf. I guarantee you will actually be shocked. You know, a lot of people think it's just a young teen show, but it's actually really good. Last week, we also talked about Star Wars 9 getting a new director, because the one they had was leaving. And I thought it would take a few weeks to figure out who was going to do it. You know, I speculated myself that Rian Johnson, who's, you know, finished directing The Last Jedi, and we're going to see that in a couple of months. But it actually was announced this week that J.J. Abrams, who went on to do The Force Awakens, is actually coming back to wrap up the trilogy. And I'm happy about that because I liked what he did with the Star Trek movies. I've also liked some of his other movies like Super 8. And I like The Force Awakens. A lot of people, I think, are mixed by this because I think they liked what J.J. Abrams did to bring the series back on track. Some people who didn't like the prequels were kind of bothered by it all. And basically, what happened is that he's coming back, and I think some people are mixed. I think it's a good thing. You know, I think he's going to do a really good job with it. And, well, you know, you can only hope, right? But he did such a good with The Force Awakens. Although, you know, I do know he kind of went for emotion in that, and he did kind of replay New Hope a little bit. I expect a lot from the next two Star Wars movies because I was a big fan of The Force Awakens, but I did find it a little reminiscent of A New Hope. And I really want something different in The Last Jedi. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but they've been hitting the same beats over and over again and stuff. And I'm really looking for something different and unique in this one. And that would mean that nine, I would expect something just as big and unique. You know, they can hit certain themes again, but, you know, as far as storylines go, we need something new and original and fresh. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Can JJ do it? I'm a big fan of his. I love how he rejuvenated the Star Trek franchise. I know some people don't like that, but for me, I think this is a good choice, and I look forward to Last Jedi and Number 9 when it comes out. So, getting back to the current box office, maybe some of you have already seen the movie It, and some of you are nervous about seeing the movie It, and I'm sure there a lot of clown fans have not gone to see the movie It, and I say fans because I know clowns are a big fear right now. And I have to say, I went to see It and I absolutely loved it. I think it's one of my favorite movies of the year. I think what I loved about it was that it's not all horror. It's kind of a horror thriller. But what I loved about it is that I didn't need the horror to carry this movie. Don't get me wrong, there's lots of great jump scenes and some really terrifying moments, but it's not the scariest movie I've seen. I think I've been on the edge of my seat a little bit more in movies recently, but it still had some good jumps and some good creepiness in it. But I think what really makes this movie, and the guy who really needs to be applauded is the director Andy Muschietti, because he crafted a really wonderful movie. With horror movies, I get nervous when they clock in too long, because I think horror movies should only clock in between 90 minutes and maybe, quarter two. But this movie clocks in at 2:15, like 2 hours and 15 minutes, and that's a lot. But there's so much drama and a little bit of comedy even in this, that they build the characters. But they don't give you useless stuff. Every scene that you see basically helps move the plot along and deals with the fears. For those of you who don't know what it is about, it's basically about these seven kids that are tempted by a creepy, creepy character called Pennywise the Dancing Clown. And if you are not a fan of clowns, that probably just sent chills up you, and you might want to stay away from this. Maybe try Mother or renting a classic old horror movie. But anyhow, Bill Skarsgård plays Pennywise, the dancing clown, and I'll tell you, he is really good. I know a lot of people probably have fond memories of Tim Curry, and I do too. I love Tim Curry in almost every role he's ever played, and Bill Skarsgård is really creepy. I would say just as, if not more, creepier than Tim Curry. He actually has a scene early on where he talks to one of the kids, and he's in the sewer grate. And the whole scene not only is filmed awfully creepy, but just the way he pronounces things and stuff, and how he goes from being kind of childlike to evil is so damn creepy that I said I look forward to so much Pennywise in this. Sadly, Pennywise doesn't have a lot of soliloquies in this movie. He comes to taunt and tease, and he does a great job and scare the bejeebas out of you, and it does a great job with all of that. But I wish I could have seen him more, do more dialogue and stuff, but I know that's not what it is. And we might see more of that in the second film. As I said, basically all the kids have fears, the clown's feeding off of them, and they start unraveling the mystery because this town, Derry, Maine, is just filled with mysteries, like just missing kids, everything. And so these kids set out to try to discover the mystery, since the adults seem to be not caring or unaware. The cast, the seven kids they picked, I'm not going to give kudos to all of them, but they are all amazing. The casting of these kids were so wonderful. I'm going to give a couple of standouts here. Jaden Lieberer, who plays the lead kid Bill, is just so awesome. He is kind of the heart of the kid, the movie. He's also kind of a kid that we all knew, and that's what makes his role even more. And when we see him unraveling, trying desperately to face his fears, with this mystery. It's incredible. I also want to give a shout out to Sophia Lillis, who plays Beverly. Another role. It's so dark. Now, I never read the book, but I hear the book is really disturbing to the point that I think they say that there's parts in the books that maybe even shouldn't have seen the light of day. And from what I hear, this movie goes to those places, but not all of them, because some of them are really not supposed to be there. Her backstory is handled with a lot of care because it is one of the darkest fears and it is handled very good. But this actress is just heartbreaking in the role and she is just phenomenal. And Nicholas Hamilton plays Henry, I believe his name was. He's kind of one of the, he's not one of the seven kids, he's one of another kids. And this kid, I think, has got a real strong future. He's kind of the bully. And a real good job of a bully, but we even see that he has some weaknesses and fears, and it's just a mind-blowing performance. And as I said, all the kids are amazing in this, and that's what this movie is. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, but you are riveted to everything going on. There are no scenes that don't feel like they don't need to be there, and this movie is just a really entertaining ride. And it's not horror non-stop, it's basically drama, a lot of drama along the way, and some of that drama is horrific for different reasons. And if you're a fan of this kind of stuff, definitely check it out. I definitely think it's one of the strongest movies of the year, and it deserves all the success it did. I'm not exactly sure why so many people are going to this. Just because, horrors, we get a ho new horror movie every couple of weeks, but this is an intelligent horror. And the problem with this is, now, as I've told you before, this is like the first half. And then the second half deals with the adult versions of the ones that come out of, the first one, which I will not tell you because I'm not into spoilers. And that's where this movie is going to have some real troubles because of the fact, I hope, that Andy Muschietti comes back to direct it. I really do. He hasn't really been signed yet, as far as I know. And the kids might return, but it would be only in flashback form. And it's almost sad, like, because this movie is expected to come out in 2019, 2 years from now. And, with 117 million at the box office, we're definitely going to see a sequel. But basically, what I like about it is that they're going to really have to cast really great because they did such a great job. Most of these kids are unknowns, but they're not going to be for long. And even if they cast like name stars, the chemistry between the kids is what they need to get right. And of course, Bill Skarsgård coming back will just creep it up a bit perfectly. So definitely take a chance on it. If you have a fear of clowns, maybe not so much. Anyhow, in our music look this week, we're going to say goodbye to a couple of country and western stars. Now, I do love country music, and we lost two country people that I wasn't really that aware of. But I looked into them, and I do know some of their music. But hey, we may have some country music fans here. We lost Don Williams this past week, and Don Williams was. He started his career in 1971, a solo career, and he actually went on to become a real country music legend. I always knew the name Don Williams, but when I went and listened to some of the songs, I said, "Oh yeah, I know him." He actually had 17 number one songs on the country chart, some of his biggest being You're My Best Friend, Tulsa Time, and I Believe in You. And he also wrote songs for everybody from like Johnny Cash to Eric Clapton, the list of people like Kenny Rogers, it's crazy. He was known as the Gentle Giant because he had kind of a sweet disclo I can't think of the word. He was just like a sweet man, but he was big in stature, and he got that nicknamed. And he also did a little bit of acting. He was in a couple of Burt Reynolds films. I guess Burt was a big fan of his. And he was in a really, I think I saw this when I was a kid, but I don't know for sure. It was called WW and the Dixie Dance Kings, and Don Williams plays one of the members of the Dixie Dance Kings. It wasn't one of Burt Reynolds' big films, but I think it was a kind of a cult classic film. And he also was in Smokey and the Bandit 2, which I'll be honest with you, is absolutely horrible. I've tried to forget this, but Don Williams actually, was in that movie. He played a lot of songs in that movie, but it's so horrible compared to the first one. I can't even remember it, but we're remembering Don Williams now. So definitely check out some Don Williams out there, especially if you're a country and music fan. We also lost a member of the Montgomery Gentry group. This is a duo that started making music in 1999, and they've been consistently making music since then. Troy Gentry actually died in a helicopter crash on his way to one of their performances. And him and Eddie Montgomery were a duo that continually made great music. They also had like four or five country number one songs, including Lucky Man and Something to Be Proud of. As I said, I know a little bit of their music, but I wish I knew them more, but I did some research on them, and they definitely made some great music. So, if you're in the mood to discover some new music, check out some country and western there for you. New trailers out this week. There was a couple. Thor Ragnarok had a couple of TV trailers drop. The one that's probably getting a lot of views, and I'm going to get ripped around the coals for this one, but I do like this series. But the final teaser trailer hit for 50 Shades Freed. This is the third in the series of the 50 Shades movies, and yeah, I know. Not everybody likes 50 Shades of Grey, but you'd be surprised how many people like this movie because these trailers are watched so much. And the third one's coming out this next Valentine's Day, 2018. And this gives you a little glimpse of what we're dealing with. There's wedding dresses, there's guns, there's excess, because that's what these things are about. I know these aren't great films, but they are entertaining. And I know a lot of people don't like them, but I know a lot of people that secretly do. And sadly, it's sad that a lot of people can't. So I decided to add this to my news this week because for you people who do like the movies and find them a guilty pleasure like I do, I actually find them a little more than a guilty pleasure. I actually really enjoy them. It's definitely soap opera stuff, but you check that out. It's just the teaser trailer, but they do have quite a lot of stuff in it, and it announces that we'll get a full trailer in November, so something to look forward to for you 50 Grey Shades of Grey fans. Now, going to the old movie vaults, I'm a big movie fan, as you probably know, and my father is a big influence for me. He's no longer with us, but I remember when he was growing up, he used to talk about watching the old Bowery Boys and East End Kids and the Dead End Boys, and I was like, are these all the same thing? Are they different entities? What were they? And I decided that this weekend I wound up on YouTube and I saw that there was a movie called Spooks Gone Wild featuring the East Side Kids, but it also starred Bela Lugosi. And that kind of blew me away because I didn't know, like, Abbott and Costello meet Dracula. Bela Lugosi didn't even play Dracula in that one. And that was a Universal monster movie, so I was surprised that Bela Lugosi was starring with these East Side Kids. I watched the movie, and it was kind of weird because it was even my partner Mike came in and said, "Is this supposed to be a comedy?" And I go, "I don't know. It's kind of dramatic, but there's some comedy bits in it." But I found the movie entertaining. Like, I couldn't stop watching it, but I couldn't also recommend it. But it was kind of neat. But every once in a while, I meet an older person or someone my age that remembers the Bowery Boys and stuff and all these things. And basically, they're a group of street kids in these movies. And I had to find out just because I love movies so much that I sometimes do research or watch documentaries. So, if you grew up with these movies, I'm going to help you understand them. And, this is what I'm going to do every once in a while. because, you know, I assume people are interested in this too. This is a group that I'm surprised doesn't get talked about as much, because this is very old school. This is really old school. We're not talking, you know, you still hear people talk about Three Stooges, Little Rascals, Laurel and Hardy. Nobody talks about the Bowery Boys anymore, except Muggins here, Devlin. So I actually researched it to find out what this is all about. Samuel Goldwyn, who is the G in MGM, he went to Broadway in the 30s, and he went to see a drama on the Broadway stage called Dead End, and it starred the Dead End Boys, and it basically featured seven these street tough kids that did this Broadway play. He liked the play so much he decided he was going to basically he wanted to do a movie version of the play, and he brought out the seven kids because he wanted the original kids to play them. The movie turned out to be a big hit, and he decided to turn this into a bit of a franchise. So basically what he did was these kids started making these tough kid movies, and like so that it's like these teens that are street kids and they're ruffians and they do petty crimes and stuff. So they're not really comedic, they're just tough guys. They turned out to be really popular, so popular that another rival studio decided to do a series called Little Tough Guys, which was blatantly a ripoff. Somebody got the great idea to basically put them together and try to make money by totally just putting them together. So they took the Dead End Boys and the Little Tough Guys together, and they came up with a group called the East Side Kids. So those, the Dead End Boys, the East Side Kids, and the Little Tough Guys are pretty much all the same. So basically, the East Side Boys went on to make 22 movies in 5 years. These movies were so profitable. The Dead End Boys' biggest movie is a movie you may have actually heard of. It was called Angels with Dirty Faces, and it starred James Cagney and I believe Humphrey Bogart as well. So they actually were making a lot of money, and in 22 movies in 5 years. Now, a lot of these movies are only like an hour and a 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Some are an hour and a half, but the East Side Kids became bigger. Hunts Hall was added to the group, and he had a comedy background, and the kids started improvising. So they still did these tough street storylines, you know. But suddenly, when Hunts Hall came in, they added a comedic element, and it was around the time of the one I just watched, Spooks Gone Wild, where they decided to let the kids improv and throw in some like improvisations. So basically, this suddenly they went from being these tough kids to having some comedic, and although it didn't really mesh well with Spooks Gone Wild, the comedy became more and more as they went on. Now, as the kids got older, they couldn't get away with being kids, so a couple of them were spinned off into a series called the Bowery Boys. And so, yes, all these kids and boys groups all were based on the same. The Bowery Boys went on to make even more movies, like we're talking like I believe something like 39 movies, and they became very popular. The reason I'm shocked that they don't get talked about, because I don't think the movies translate as well as a Laurel and Hardy or a Three Stooges, but why I'm surprised is that this is the longest running series in North American history. Like, honestly, they're considered to have the longest running amount of movies. Like, yeah, we're talking even more than Bond. We're talking more than that. Because when you add all these movies from the Dead End Boys, the East Side Kids, and the Bowery Boys, you get them all. Hope I didn't lose you with that. I just was always interested because people would always tell me, "Oh, I love those Bowery Boys." Now they picked up a new lineup because since their movies were so short in the 50s and 60s, they actually cut them down to TV shows. And Saturday afternoons, they'd show like Bowery Boys Theater, and they would show different versions of all these movies. And a lot of people my generation watched them. I didn't see them. I don't think they played in my thing, but they became quite popular. But they've kind of dissolved for a bit. Now, a lot of these movies are available on YouTube for free. And if you're in the mood to find some old, maybe you're getting tired of some of the stuff you're seeing and you want some old Hollywood awesomeness, then check out these. I've only seen one, so I can't recommend all of them, but you know what? I'm going to try to see watch a couple other ones because I found it fascinating and I thought I wanted to give that to you. Anyhow, I can't believe how quickly these half hours go, but we've come to an end of another Mondo Nostalgia Radio. I hope you like what you heard, a little bit of new stuff, a little bit of old stuff. Hope you learned something. Hope you were entertained. And we'll do this every week. Let me know what you think. Please like and subscribe on YouTube. And don't forget, you can get a downloadable version of this on iTunes if you want to take us somewhere. Anyhow, hope you have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week here on Mondo Nostalgia Radio. Have yourself a great night.